1982, released a song in 1987 that was described in a music industry magazine as having the power of spiritual conviction delivered from the perspective of the desert sojourn rather than the comfort of the promised land. Inspired by both gospel music and Bono's interest in the theme of spiritual doubt, the song, I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For, powerfully expresses the longings in all of our hearts. We are all looking, all searching, but often our search is for what brings only temporary comfort, temporary assistance, temporary peace, temporary satisfaction. We humans do experience a wide range of emotions. Some of them we think of in very positive ways, and they are positive, like joy, gratitude, serenity, hope, and compassion. Some very negative, like anger, sadness, fear, jealousy, disgust. But when we're too overloaded with negative emotions, that's when we might turn to things like substance misuse, engage in emotional eating, or get too much or too little sleep. We might find ourselves procrastinating important tasks, withdrawing from friends and family, or vegging out on screens. We might grind our teeth at night, talk negatively about ourselves, or lash out at those around us. And as we know, none of these unhealthy responses brings us lasting comfort, hope, peace, or joy. These temporary fixes do not satisfy the longings in our hearts. So the reason we're gathered together tonight is to celebrate Christmas, a special season to rejoice in and respond to the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now we decided, Beth actually suggested this, and I thought it was a beautiful suggestion. We decided to have the celebration in this room tonight because we can sit around the table just like we do at home. When we read about Jesus in the New Testament Gospels, we notice there's a lot of mentions of Jesus spending time with other people by sitting and enjoying a meal, a gathering at a table. Now, at the last one of these meals, and now we call it the Last Supper, Jesus said these words to his closest followers in John chapter 14. I am the way and the truth and the life. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth. He abides with you and he will be in you. Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. These are incredible promises. Jesus said that if we love him, if we keep his commandments to love God with everything we've got, and to love other people as well as we love ourselves, then God will come to us, and God's home is with us. Jesus came to show us the way home. It's not a physical place which is limited like the no matter who or where we are, no matter what we've done, no matter how we feel, in Jesus, we are always invited, always welcomed to return to our true home with God. We are always invited and always welcome to live a life of unending mercy, enduring peace, and abounding love. We are always invited and always welcomed to look forward to consummate healing, ultimate justice, and infinite joy. Jesus told us and showed us that Jesus is the way home. We have been created and designed as God's beloved children, and our satisfaction is in God. Our true home is with God. Now, I really enjoy visiting all kinds of museums, whether they focus on science or history or art. There's no end to explorations. And last week, some of us in our family got to visit Fernbank Museum together. How priceless to experience wonder, discovery, creativity, and beauty together. Now, I put something on the center of each of your tables. Each of you can have one of these photos. It's a photo of a painting done in the style called pointillism. Now, the first time I encountered this kind of painting in which small, distinct dots of color are applied in patterns to form an image, I did not understand how to view it. Pointillism relies on the ability of the eye and mind of the viewer to blend the color spots into a fuller range of tones. And the only way to do that is to pause, step back, and see it with a new perspective. So Christmas is a time when we remember the story of Jesus who came to us as one of us, a baby born in the usual way in a town called Bethlehem about 2,000 years ago. And like I said, in some ways, Jesus's birth was pretty normal, but it was completely unique in others because Jesus is fully God and fully human. Christmas is a time when we see perhaps more clearly than at other times that in Jesus, God offers us a new beginning and a fresh start. All of us, you and me and every person on the planet, no one is excluded. Everyone is included. Everyone is invited and welcomed. So today, I want you to know that God is setting before you a new canvas that is clean and fresh, awaiting brush strokes of goodness, truth, and beauty, chock full of possibilities, just like those tiny dots in your pointillism pictures. We are each invited to do small things with great love. Each dot is a dot of grace. Each small thing that we can do can build something good, true, and beautiful that is filled with the color, light, and radiance of God. And God also invites us to notice dots of grace in other people's lives too. We can look at our families, our neighbors, our friends, and encourage them along the way, even as we continue to do small things with great love, reaching out to neighbors and nations for the greater glory of God. Jesus came to show us the way home. Listen to Jesus's beautiful invitation from Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. And Eugene Peterson's modern translation in the Message, it's not really a translation, interpretation in the Message says, puts Jesus's invitation this way. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. So I want to encourage all of us to let Christmas remind us of Jesus's invitation to us all. Come to Jesus, who is the way. Come to Jesus, who is our true home. Now, one of the ways in which we get to do that in a very tangible sort of way is at the table of communion. Jesus did this with his earliest followers, and he told us to continue doing this because he wants us to always remember that Jesus is the way home and Jesus is our true home. So I want to invite you to commune with Jesus here and now. Everyone is welcome at Christ's table. As we eat the bread and drink the cup, let us remember Jesus, who is God with us. May we each lean into the unforced rhythms of grace. May we each receive the grace that we need to be able to live more freely and lightly. May we come to Jesus, our true home. In a moment, I'll give instructions on where to stand and how to get over to this table. But before I do that, let's just remember that at the Last Supper, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to those with him, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." When you come to the table, you'll be given a piece of bread along with the words, "The body of Christ broken for you." Jesus then took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." When you come forward, you will also be given a cup in which to dip the bread, along with the words, "The blood of Christ poured out for you." So I invite you now to come forward to receive the elements. Jesus Christ is present here with us. Let us celebrate the Lord and the body of Christ as we eat and drink together. Before we sing our closing song, I want to share with you a highly descriptive poem that I hope will ignite fresh astonishment in us at what happened on that first Christmas. This is called Descent by Malcolm Guite. They sought to soar into the skies, those classic gods of high renown, for lofty pride aspires to rise, but you came down. You dropped down from the mountain sheer, forsook the eagle for the dove. The other gods demanded fear, but you gave love. Where chiseled marble seemed to freeze their abstract and perfected form, compassion brought you to your knees. Your blood was warm. They called for blood in sacrifice, and victims on their altars bled when no one else could pay the price. You died instead. They towered above our mortal plane, dismissed this restless flesh with scorn, aloof from birth and death and pain, but you were born. Born to these burdens, born by all, born with us all astride the grave, weak to be with us when we fall, and strong to save.